Amen. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 31. Now, we've been talking about grace. God said to us that this year is a year of great grace. Now, the grace of God is such a precious, precious thing. Grace describes who God is. He is a good God, and He is a merciful God. And we've said that grace can be summarized in two words. Everything about grace, there's a lot of definition of grace, but two words that you can use is goodness and mercy. You find the scriptures all over scripture. It says the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. You know, God is always gracious. In His mercy, He forgives our sins. In His mercy, He pardons us, shows kindness to us. He knows that we have frailties, we have weaknesses. So He is a merciful God. Hallelujah. Isn't that beautiful? Not only is He merciful, He is good. That's why the psalmist said, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You know, when David sinned, he said, I would rather go to God for punishment than for people to punish me. Why? Because I know that God is merciful. People may continue to condemn me and speak against me, but I know that God is merciful. Hallelujah. So this grace that we've been talking about is so precious. I know we've been blessed, but I want to share an aspect of this grace with us today. And in Exodus chapter 31, Moses is to build the temple, the tabernacle for the Lord. And God was equipping people to help him to build the tabernacle. This is probably one of the most important tasks Moses will ever do. One of the most important things that he would do, because he's going to put a picture of what heaven looks like for the first time, is going to be built on earth. And you notice what God said to Moses when he was going to build. He said, I want you to build according to the pattern that I show you. You know why? Because there are temples on earth. Egypt had a temple. All of the countries and those who were worshiping idols, they had a temple. God says, I want to give you a true picture, a representation of how heaven, the throne of God, is. So I wanted to build it particularly and specifically. Now, how is Moses going to do this when he doesn't know how to build? Now, let's read. The Lord said to Moses, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur. Now, so Bezalel must be the grandson of Hur. Is that Hur? Is that the correct spelling? Of the tribe of Judah. I wanted to pause there. Do you know that God knows your name? God said to Moses, I have called Bezalel by name. And if you're here today, I want you to know that God loves you, appreciates you specifically, just like a parent knows their child's name. Even though sometimes we, when we have many children, we confuse the names, isn't it? But God doesn't confuse your name. He loves you. He said, I've called Bezalel, the son of Uri. He even talks about his father and his grandfather. Wow. Now let's go to verse 3. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God with ability. God said, I've asked you, Moses, to build the tabernacle that all the people will come to worship, but you are not going to do it alone. You see, God does not want people to be self-dependent. God wants you to value somebody in your life. God wants you to value people. Because if Moses was to build this, it will make Moses feel that I'm a superman. So God said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to pick somebody in the camp, and I will fill him with ability and intelligence, with knowledge, and what? All craftsmanship to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, bronze, number five, in cutting stones. Wow, this man is going to be loaded, isn't it? He can work in gold, he can work in silver, he can do stones, he can do all of those things. And God says, I fill them with ability. You know, we've been talking about grace. God has filled you with ability because the grace of God is the ability of God. And the reason God fills each person with ability, with gift and grace, the reason he does that is so that you will impact your world, so that you can make the world a better place. You see, gifts are not primarily for you. When God gives you ability, when he gives you strength, it is for people. It is to be a blessing to humanity. You see, this man, he's there. He doesn't know how to do all of these things, but God says, I'm going to put it in him so that he can come and contribute and put in and build a tabernacle that the people of God can come and worship God. In cutting stones for setting and in carving wood to work in every craft. So what is God doing? God doesn't want Moses to be alone. He doesn't want him to depend on himself. God does not want him to be proud. The reason people have ability that I don't have, one of the reasons is so that I cannot boast. And so that I will appreciate that I need you. Every person in your life is not in your life by accident. Did you know that? The family that you are born into is not an accident. The brother you have, the sister you have, the person that you meet in the house of God, even if you're meeting them today, it is not an accident. And we'll begin to look at that. In fact, the title of today's message is, Don't Look Down on Anyone. Does that sound right? Do not look down on anyone. Can you imagine if Moses had thought, well, God used me to part the Red Sea. God used me to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. God used me to do mighty things. I went up, you know, to the mountain to do what? To collect the Ten Commandments. I'm the Superman. God is saying that you cannot be alone. You need people. We need one another. So I'm going to give grace that you don't have to another person. And it's important that we watch who is Bezaleel? The son of who? The son of Uri, the grandson of Or. We will come back to that. So Moses had to work with people. And he had to value every person in the camp. For our world, in fact, for the church to be what God wants it to be, every individual must be valued. Every person that comes your way is not with you by accident. We have all been equipped. There's something you have that I need. This is important. Amen. You know, even if it's a smile, I need it. And we know that in church, there are people who are operating all of these things, these gadgets that enable me to be able to speak so that you can hear me. They are also live streaming these online. We have people who play the instruments of music. Why is God doing that? So that we will be interdependent and we will be able to help one another to grow, help each other to succeed in life. You need me, I need you. Hallelujah. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter 4. He says, as each has received what? A gift. Each has received a gift. Every person who is in this world, and particularly when you become a believer, a Christian, that gift begins to work specifically in you. As each has received a gift, use it to do what? To serve one another. Now, the reason I'm bringing this out is that a lot of times we live without having a sense of serving. And serving doesn't mean that you're doing a lot of things. It just means that you're looking at yourself that there is something God has given to me to be a blessing to somebody. And, you know, I always say to people that the definition of prosperity is God said to Abraham, I will bless you and you will be a blessing. So if someone says they are prospering in whichever area of their lives because they've received something, they are not prosperous. You are prosperous when you do the first part and you do the other part as well. I will bless you and you will be a blessing. Can you imagine if Toby and Toke and all the instrumentalists, they can play the instruments, but they never come to play it for us to worship God. So they've been blessed with the ability to be able to play instruments, but they are not a blessing. So when God came to Bezalel, the specific reason God came to him was so that he would build a tabernacle. Is he the only one that will use the tabernacle? No, for everyone. 1 Peter chapter 4, we're reading, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. Use it to serve whatever you have, whatever grace you have, whatever strength you have, it is so that we can serve one another as good stewards of what? Of God's varied grace. So that gift is the grace of God. You see, the gift you have, it is the grace of God, and we are to use it to serve one another. So there's something that you need that somebody else has. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. Now, it says, keep on loving each other as what? As brothers. Is this the NIV? The NIV, okay. It says, do not forget, I think this is King James, the NIV, we can use, this is King James, isn't it? Okay, let's go on, because it says to entertain. The word entertain there means to show hospitality. To show hospitality. You know, we are talking about grace. There is the grace, the help you need that is with somebody. I was saying last Sunday, I said our brother, Minister Terrence and Deaconess Laurice, that they are God's grace to me. They are God's help to me. God brought them my way, brought them this way so that they will impart something into the church. If I did not value them, they would not be here giving that help. Are you listening to what I'm saying? There are people who are coming your way that they are the people that God has planted to help you. And this is very powerful. Notice that Moses, he had all the power with the rod. He did a lot of mighty miracles. Did he know that in order for him to build a tabernacle, he will need Bezalel? Maybe every time he saw Bezalel, he's been nasty to Bezalel. Said, look at you. What are you doing here? But that's the person that God will use to fulfill the purpose in his life. So it says, do not forget to entertain, to show hospitality to strangers. Now, I say, do not look down on anyone. Don't look down on anyone. This is important. I know this might sound very simple, but as a believer, there are things that God wants to communicate to you, and it will come through someone else. There are things that he might want to come. You see, you're sitting with Genevieve. There are things that God wants to communicate. It could just be a word. It could be an encouragement. It could be a message. Look at it. It says, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, what is so doing? By entertaining strangers, some have entertained angels. Wow.
thought.
You mean it's possible to entertain angels? You know, you've shown hospitality to someone, and you've actually shown hospitality to who? To an angel. You see, because they didn't know it. They said without knowing it. So, if I showed nastiness to someone, if I showed hatred to someone, if I show unforgiveness to someone, I may have been nasty to an angel without knowing. Now, what's the job of an angel? An angel comes to help. So this word angel is not just, obviously, he didn't come with wings. Otherwise, you will have known that he was an angel. Amen. It will come in form of a person. When God's grace comes upon me, any ability that I have, any skill that I have, any talent that I have, it is so that I will be a blessing to somebody who needs it. Thank you, Lord. You know, this world will be a better place if we have this kind of mindset. If I see, the Bible says, we should mourn with those who mourn. So if somebody is mourning, if somebody's gone through a difficult time, a challenging time, they shouldn't be looking for people to sympathize with them, should they? There should be somebody around who has that ability to encourage. God has gifted you with the ability to be able to encourage people. I meet a lot of people who say, you know, sometimes people just come around me and when I say a word, they just get lifted up. God has done for you what he did for Bezalel. He has put in you the ability, the intelligence, the Spirit of God for you to be an encourager. And what I'm trying to let us to do today is to do it on purpose, not by accident. Because he said, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing. Angels come to help. Angels come to minister, and angels come to deliver messages. Hallelujah. You need somebody, even if it's a smile. Be nice to people. Be nice to people. Be gracious to everyone. One of the things that receiving grace does to you is it makes you to be gracious to people, to be kind to people. The scripture we read on Friday said our God is full of compassion and is a God of comfort, and that we should comfort others with the same comfort that God has comforted us. We are in this world to use this grace to bless people. You know, growing up, I've shared my story many times, and grew up in a very, very poor home. And when I say poor, you know, I've said it to you, you haven't seen poverty. And growing up, there were people who were kind. There's this particular woman, she lived on the other side of the street. Something happened, and my mom had to go away and all that. And we're seven children. We're all scattered because they couldn't keep us together. And so it was just myself and the younger sister. And I remember the only way we got money is when, you know, people will send you, I said, go and buy this. That's why when you send me to buy anything, see, everything in life, God will use it to work together for you. I never refuse an errand. If people need my help, I always give it. I never say, oh, no, I can't help you. You know why? Then it was when they sent me, they would give me a penny or something like that. And that's what I will use. I, myself and my sister, I would take her to the shops to buy shoes because we didn't have shoes to wear to school. So I would do all of those errands and I would gather all of that, buy clothes for her, buy shoes for her. Because my mom wasn't there. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And I can remember the people who were kind to me. They were like God sent angels to help me. And a lot of people around the area couldn't stand us. They were mean to us. And I remember I've told you before a place that we used to go and watch television. And they had those TVs of those days. And what we'll do is we'll go to the window from outside. You couldn't get into the house. And we used to watch Dan Blocker, Penn and Robert, Michael London, Lon Green. And we would stand at the window, and you know, and it's a crowd at the window. When the program is about to start, we're all on the queue, and we're trying to watch it and try to, you know, all. And the lady will come out. You're dirty people. Get out of here. Get out. She will speak so rudely to us. Where's the TV now? Now, what I'm saying is that you never know what you do to people when you are kind and you are nice and you are friendly. Young people learn this. This is important. You know, we used to have a station where on the trains, do they still have it? Buses for you to give seats for the elderly. You're still there. Young people, do you do that? Bible says, by so doing, some have done what? They've shown hospitality to an angel without knowing. Because God, you know God's desire. God's desire is for everybody to be helped. And God has to use you and I. He has to put his grace, he has to put his goodness on the inside of us. The Bible says, God is good and his mercy endures forever. So you have the goodness of God in you. You have the mercy of God in you. You have to go out and dispense it. You have to give it to people. You have to do it as a mission, as a job, as an occupation, to be kind to people, to be nice to people. Hallelujah. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, if I speak with the tongues of men and the tongues of angels, and I have not love, it profits me nothing. Now, maybe this is not what you came to hear about grace, but the purpose of grace is so that we will go and change our world with the grace of God. The Bible says, Jesus said, I did not come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. How is the world going to be saved? He's going to show them mercy. He's going to show them kindness. That's how Jesus saved the world. And he showed us an example. I'm still coming back to Bezalel, but let's keep looking. It says, some have entertained angels unknowingly. Exodus chapter 17. Did you know that there was a time that Moses had to lift up his hands so that the children of Israel will continue to win the battle? Let's read it. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. I'm just hoping that you will catch this. There is something that you need that somebody has. There is help that I need that you have. So if I withhold help from people, I'm withholding the grace of God from that person. So it says, Aaron did what? When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, because this is battle going on. And how old was Moses? Maybe around this, about 90. So he's holding up his hand, and he's getting tired. As his hands are going down, they're losing the battle. Why doesn't God make his hand just stay? Can God not do that? If God could part the Red Sea, God doesn't want him to be Superman. He doesn't want him to be self-dependent. He wants him to know that everything that you need, I've distributed it among people. I want people to come together in unity. In fact, the Bible says we are all members of what? The body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, is the body one member? Is the body one member? No, there are many members, but they are all part of the body. Each member is playing a part. My hand plays a part. My leg plays a part. And it says if the eye, or what did he say? I'm paraphrasing now. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. This is interdependence. And this will work in a family. It will work in the church. It will work in the workplace. Do you know we are six in the family, in my family, we are six. You say that's a large family. Well, I had seven. And I told my wife, I don't mind having seven children. My wife said, three is enough. Well, thank God we got another one. You don't know what you are missing when you don't have a lot of people in the house. How many people have felt that maybe your children have left home? How did you feel the first time they left home? Were you okay? You can't be okay. Praise God. So what happens is in our home, people have different areas, different strengths and weaknesses. But it makes the home strong. I know what I can enjoy from Toby. I know what I can enjoy from Telemi and from Toke and Tushi. You know, anytime we go somewhere and we want to make sure we reach somebody, call Toke. Toby will pick his WhatsApp, but not phone. Toke is the only one that picks the phone. Tushie doesn't pick anything. Tell him he will pick, but that will be much, much later. Amen. So if we need things organized in the house, if we need, maybe we're going on holiday and all of that, don't even go near Toke. You have to keep reminding her the date of the holiday. The night before, you say, have you packed your bag? Tell him he's the one that will organize all of that for you. She will even over-organize it for you. Amen. So what am I trying to bring out here? Everyone has something that God has given them, and we cannot be jealous of one another because what you have, I don't have. Guess what? That's the way God does it. He won't let you have what the other person has. So you should not be jealous. You should be glad. You should celebrate your sister, celebrate your brother, celebrate your husband, celebrate your wife, celebrate everybody else because they have something that you need. And the way to celebrate them is to treat them well. Treat people well. This is important. I've shared with you how the house, the first house that we bought, even coming here, because we used to live in London. So coming here where the Lord said we should plant the church, it was a lady at work. And she was nasty to me. When I say nasty, I've shared your testimony. I got a job that she also wanted. She went and reported that I wasn't doing the job well. And she was right. There was a particular part of the job that I did not know. And so she reported and said, this aspect, he doesn't know it very well. Because I was coming from a different country. We didn't do that. So I was learning it new. So why would you give him that job when he doesn't know all the aspects? She doesn't know that this is the grace of God. It's the grace of God. Lots of people about 15 people applied for the job, and I was only 3 months there, and I got the job. And so, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? This is my enemy. So that's your enemy number one. But you see, the Bible says the Lord is good and his mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is forgiveness. To be a Christian is to be like Christ. The word Christian is Christ I am. That's our job. You see, this world will not change without us. We are the light of the world, the Bible says. You know, we can't put our light under a bushel. We can't act like everybody else. So the lady, I just thank God for the grace to be able to do it because the first thing that comes to your mind, I didn't even go home and tell my wife. Because I can imagine, you know, my wife loves me. She'll say, who is that person that did that to you? So I told her later. And guess what? Of course, I improved on that and all that. And when we were looking to get a place, she just told me, she said, you know what? I know all that area very well. I used to come on the train. And she said, look, I will finish my work and I will drive you around. She took me to the estate agents. She will start work at sometimes 5 to 1 or 6 to 1. I was doing 8 to 4. And she would wait till I finished and drive me around to all the estate agents. She sat with the estate agents and said, this is, because she asked me for all my details, because we were also new in the country as well. So she asked for all my details, and she practically helped us to buy the house. The grace that I needed, because I didn't know how to buy, we didn't know how to buy a house. I didn't have transportation to keep going to all the estate agents. She will go, the estate agent will say, okay, this is the house, and she will drive me there, and I will check it. Then I will go later and get my wife, and then we'll come and have a look. But what if, after she did what she did to me, I became nasty to her? Then I'll be crying to God for help. But God already sent help to me. The help is there in your workplace. The help is there in your home. There are many families that each person has gifts, but they are not using it. They are not blessing each other. We are fighting one another. That's not Christ-like. Praise God. Praise God. Okay, let me read this to you. When his hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur did what? Did you read that name again? What's the name again? This Hur is the grandfather of Bezalel. So what if Aaron had treated Bezalel's grandfather in a nasty way? Even if God gave him the gift, he would not help Moses. Are you getting this? This is grandson. Why would God choose the grandson of that same man? God is showing us something. That you can't say, okay, well, okay, you know there are some people that say, I'll be nice to her daughter. But her, no chance. Praise God. Hallelujah. So they held his hand. And as long as they held his hands, what happened? Israel was winning. Do not look down on anyone. Be nice to people. Give somebody a smile. Be nice. Be gracious. The purpose of the grace of God, the purpose of the ability of God, everything you have is to be a blessing to somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you. You know, a phone call to somebody. A phone call. You know, sometimes in church, we have just a few people doing all the work. The Bible says the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. How many people can sing here? How many people you can sing? You don't want to put your hand up. I'm not trying to catch you out. Go can sing. She should be in the choir. Amen. Hallelujah. That voice is not for you alone. And it's not for Minister Emilio. Amen. What am I saying? Whatever you have, look for opportunity to dispense it, to use it. We have a family who just came into church. And, you know, it really blessed my heart because not only they invited us for dinner. And like I told you, I had the best lamb I ever had. My wife says, from that moment, you will never have lamb again. Lovely, lovely family. But amazingly, at Christmas, they invited one of the brothers in church. This is a brother who lives by himself. This is a brother that every time it's Christmas or any occasion, I am concerned for him. I always think of him. I meet with him all the time. We always meet him. I call him and he calls me and we do all of that. Just because I needed him to feel that he had family. But these couple have come into church. They've made him their family. They go for coffee. And Christmas Day. You know, most people just want to be just me, my wife and kids. You know, you understand, it's a big deal to me and it's a big deal to God that you will invite someone, a stranger, because that's like a stranger, into your home. What they've done is they've entertained an angel. There is a blessing that comes with that. That is Christianity. So all of us are at home with our families. We are having Christmas dinner. Now I can eat my dinner well, knowing that that brother who will have been alone, having nobody to share Christmas with him, is with another family. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's good to be kind, to be friendly, and to be nice. Never look down on anyone. Praise God. Praise God. Genesis chapter 40, quickly. I'll be closing soon. It's a word from my heart to you today. Because we know we talk about the grace of God. We enjoy the grace of God. But what do we do with that grace? What do we do with it? The next time you go to work, just don't fight people at work. No matter what they do to you, God has given you the grace to be able to bear it. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't fight your sister. Don't fight your brother. Young people, don't fight. You need each other. Amen. You need one another. You know, there are so many things as you grow up that your siblings will go through. And they will need your help. Genesis 40, look at it. Then the butler and the baker, you know the story of Joseph, of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, had a dream, both of them, each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with its own interpretation. And Joseph came into them. Joseph is in prison, but he has the grace of God on his life. He has the ability, the strength of God on his life. In fact, the Bible says when he was in prison that God was with him. But he's not just in prison saying, oh, God is with me. God is promoting me and moving me up in the prison. Because he was promoted in prison. They made him the head of all the prisoners and they were not checking him out. But look at him. Joseph came into them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were what? They were sad. They were sad. This is how grace works. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of his Lord's house, saying, why do you look so sad today? Did you know that it was through these people that he became the prime minister of Egypt? In prison, he would have thought, well, you know, what else will make a person sad that you are in prison? What else? So for him to be looking out for them, so he knew that they were not just sad because they were in prison. There must be something troubling them. Are you looking out for somebody? Are you looking out for somebody? Is there somebody? Maybe you saw someone come to church today and they're not looking. I'm not saying you should try and, you know, push yourself into their lives. Say, is everything okay? Are you all right? Or maybe we just come into church, we hear the words, hey, bye, 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 and then we go. And people come into church with all the issues and they go home with all the issues. But the help is sitting down here. You know, this couple that I told you, I believe that one of the main reasons God brought them here is to reach this brother. I believe that so strongly in my heart. You know why? Because it's been a burden in my heart. It's been a burden for many years. I've known him for many years. And God brought people who were able to reach him. Thank you, Jesus. It's a big deal to God. It is. And so through the butler and the baker, Joseph became the prime minister of Egypt. How powerful. Mark chapter 6. And I'm going to be closing with this. Mark chapter 6. When the Lord Jesus came, some people were not so nice to him. Jesus had all the answers to all their issues. Look at it. Then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were what? They were astonished. Say, wow, what a powerful word this man is teaching. And they're saying to themselves, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him that such mighty works are performed by his hands? But let's see the next verse. And then some of them say, is this not what? What are they doing? Benjamin died. It's a carpenter. They have to raise themselves above him. Romans chapter 12 said, do not think of yourself more highly. He didn't say you shouldn't think of yourself highly, but not more highly. You know how you think of yourself more highly? Once you belittle another person, you've thought of yourself more highly. Because in the sight of God, we are equal. So if you belittle someone, you brought yourself highly than you should. And you can't help people that you think too high, if you think too highly of yourself. And so he says, is this not the carpenter? They're talking about the Lord who made them. The God who created them. Just like some people will entertain an angel without knowing. He says, the son of Mary and brother of James. We know him very well. We know all his family. They are just carpenter people. They don't come from the same family that we come from. And are not his sisters here with us? So they did what? They were offended at him. They were offended at him. They were offended at him. Next verse. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives and his own house. Look at this. He could do no mighty work. Now, think about this. Jesus can do all things. But because they were not able to receive him, he couldn't. So what he could have done for them, he couldn't do it. Tell somebody, don't look down on anyone. Say, be nice to people. Be kind to people. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, this is so powerful. I keep saying I will close, but I will close now. 2 Samuel. We read last week how David defeated Goliath. Did you know Goliath had brothers? David was not to know that. So he thinks, oh, I've killed Goliath. The four brothers are coming for him. But he didn't have to fight them. Let's look at it. Now it happened afterward that there was again a battle with the Philistines. See, the Philistines were really a pain in their neck at Gob. Then, what's the name again? Sabekai, the Hushathite, killed Saph, who was one of the sons of the giants. He's Goliath's brother. But was it David that killed him? No, it was another person. God didn't use David again. God brought someone else. God is bringing all of these stories, all of these accounts are to let us know that everybody has a part to play. Everybody has something in them. Everybody has ability and grace that I've given to them. We have to allow ourselves to be kind to one another, to see that my sister has strength. See, every time I see her ability, I can't hate her. I can't fight her. But most times what we do, we only see our weaknesses. We don't see our strengths. This guy did it, see? And then again, there was war at Gob with the Philistines, where Elhanan, the son of Oregim, the Bethlehemite, killed who? Killed the brother of Goliath, the Gittite. The shaft of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. Let's go quickly. Next verse. Yet again. So this is number three now. Yet again, there was war. Did you see David doing anything here? At Gath, where there was a man of what? Great stature. Who had what? Six fingers on each hand. And six toes on each foot. 24 in total. Come on now. And he was born to what? To be what? A giant. Do you think David could afford all of these people? Now he's older. He's in old age. But God has put ability. He said, I have put upon him the ability, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of wisdom. Let me tell you, that person you are looking down on has the ability of God on their lives. They do. They have something that God has planted in them. One word from them can change your life forever. And that's why I value every human being. Every person. Thank you, Jesus. And he also was born to be what? To the giant. So when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimei, David's brother, killed him. Next verse. These four were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of who? Did they mention David there? Did David fight them? But the credit goes to everybody. When we help and support one another, we all get the credit. And God is glorified. Hallelujah. Let's put our hands together for the Lord. Amen. You just bow your head right now and say, Lord, it's a very simple message. Those who are joining at home, the Spirit of God will open my eyes to see people as those who are made in the image of God. That I will value every person that comes my way. The least I can do is to be kind. I will not look down on anyone. I will hold them precious. I will show honor. The Bible says to honor all men. And Father, thank you for our church. We are raising a compassionate people, a kind-hearted people, people that look out for one another, people that care for one another. Thank you, Master. Thank you for your grace that is working in us and is working through us. We give you glory. We give you praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 It's time for our offering.